How's everyone doing? All right?
Yeah.
Is everyone excited?
Yeah.
Don't sound that excited. Is everyone excited?
Yeah.
Who's excited?
Yeah.
About three people. Brilliant. Good. I looked around at 10:30. There were so many empty chairs, and I thought, I shouldn't have done the announcement I was speaking last week. Yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on. I said last week I was really excited, and I'm still excited this week, so that's good, isn't it? We live in exciting times, don't we? You can feel free to join in this. They're not rhetorical questions. Okay, so we live in exciting times. Who here uses social media of some description? Okay, so most people are on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, yeah? Not most people. About half the people. Do you want me to do it again? There was a lot of hands up. How many use it? All right, okay. But we live in a time where, you know, we have more access to people and more opportunity to have a voice than ever before, don't we? Like, there was a time, probably even 5 or 10 years ago, where I was saying to people, you know, at school, you will never have a time in your life where you've got access to so many people as when you're at school, because when you're at school, you know, like, you know, 30 people in your class, 150 people in your year or whatever, you might know other people at the school as well. But that's not true anymore. That's not true, because now you're in touch with all those old school people, half of them anyway, a lot of people who you haven't seen in years on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, because you follow them or they're following you. And you're in touch with a load of other people as well, all around the globe. And now you can have an opinion or say something, and you can reach an audience of hundreds with just one simple click of a button. So we're living in unprecedented times. The ability to share the gospel and share our faith and our belief, it's never before been so easy to do it. But then I look at Facebook and Twitter, I include myself in this, and I think, what do we say on it? And it's like, you know, it's like, YouTube is another good one. Who uses YouTube here? You know, you could put anything on YouTube. You could type in anything on YouTube. You could find anything out about how things work, what preachers are saying about things. You can hear talks and stuff. But I guess most of us just type in, like, funny dog video, or, don't we? It's just like, you just want to find comedy stuff. Well, I do anyway. And it's the same with Twitter and Facebook, isn't it? It's like, you know, you've got this opportunity to reach hundreds of people and with a message that's important and saying something important, and I include myself in this. And what do? You go, oh, that's a really nice burger. I'm going to take a picture of that and put it on Facebook. Like, you know, you wouldn't, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, you wouldn't take a Polaroid of your food and share it around. Yeah, guess what I ate last night? Look at this. Look at that. Woohoo! Look at that. People just go, you're nuts. But these days, you can do anything. You can get around anything. And on Twitter, you know, things are in an instant, aren't they? I scroll through my Twitter feed like, yeah, boring, 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 boring. Oh, that's quite good. And it's just there 1 minute and gone the next, isn't it? So we live in unprecedented times. I actually have no idea why I'm saying this, because it's got nothing to do with my talk. But I just thought it was interesting. I told you I'm going to knock something over. Anyway, let's start the talk. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Keith, and I'm on the leadership team here. But don't let that put you off. Okay. The talk this morning is entitled Hands Up. Excited?
Yeah.
Still excited? Brilliant. I am. I'm pretty excited. I've had this. Now, those of you that know me and have heard me speak before, you'll know that basically I don't really do like detailed, deep theological talks. I don't do any of that. What I like to do is do kind of really basic stuff that you can just go, yeah, I like that, I'll have that. Okay, so that's what this morning's talk is as well. It's another kind of just grab one little thing, have it for yourself, and go away with it. Because there's too many talks that you hear. I'm not going to name any names, but there's a lot of talks you hear. None of them are in this room. And the names you're thinking of aren't the names that I'm thinking of. Okay. There's too many talks that you hear where you think, oh, it's a brilliant talk, and then 5 minutes you're in the car, you suddenly do something else, you have your lunch, Sunday lunch, you're going, what was that talk about this morning again? What was it? Something about, it was something in the Bible or something, I can't remember what it was. Anyway, so there's very few talks I've ever heard that I've gone, that's changed my life. But if I can talk this morning and you can grab one thing from it, then hopefully it might change your life, which is good. Okay, I'm going to read from the Bible. Having said that, I don't do theology. I do read the Bible. This may look like an iPad, but it actually is a Bible. That's right, technology, gone mad. So here we are in Exodus 17. Okay, and you'll all know this. I love it when preachers say that, because then you go, oh my goodness, I don't know it. I'm not a good Christian. Okay, but that's the other thing about Facebook as well, isn't it? It's basically, we've got this opportunity to say all these things. And basically, they did a study recently on teenagers. So they had like 10 teenagers in one room who had Facebook, and then 10 teenagers in another room who didn't have Facebook. And basically, they did some studies about how happy they were. And the ones that didn't have Facebook were happier, as a result of not going on social media. Because basically what social media is, it's just another way for us to say, look at my life, it's great. Look, my food is great, and this is great, and that is great. And basically, the lives that you look at people on Facebook, you think, I'm not having as good a life as them. And that's kind of where things are going with Facebook and Twitter, and particularly for young people, they're under more pressure these days because they're looking at Twitter and Facebook and thinking, I'm not having as much fun in my life as other people. I'm not doing as much fun stuff. This person's been to this place. Well, this person's eaten a really cool burger, and I've not eaten a really cool burger. So we just need to be aware of that as to, you know, I'm talking to myself as much as I think, hear me right, I'm no guru on Facebook and Twitter, but let's try and think about how we can, you know, make it work for our faith and for sharing our faith. One of the things we do, again, this has nothing to do with my talk. One of the things we do at work is we've got someone that does our social media, and what she does is she looks out for people that are saying, oh, I've just had a really naff day, you know, car broke down, blah, 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 kids are screaming. And what we try and do is we get them to email, you know, contact them and go, sorry to hear you're having a really bad day. Let us send you some free games to cheer you up. So now everyone's going to be tweeting like, really bad day, no fun in my life. But basically, we look for people like that. And I started thinking recently, do you know what? We should be doing that as Christians. You know, we should be following people, you know, that need Jesus' love. We should be following people that need a prayer, that need some help. You know, I really want to honour Jay at this point because Jay's brilliant. If you don't follow Jay on Twitter or Facebook, do it, because he's one person that I think, do you know what? He's really thinking about what he's doing and trying, and there's something relevant about all the stuff he does. And Jay's one of those people that rather than I look at and think, oh, my life's so rubbish, you know, his life's so brilliant, he's doing great things, I just look at it and go, I'm just not as good a Christian as Jay. He's like, he's really thinking this stuff through and like kind of touching people with the gospel through social media. And I'm just going, oh, Aston Miller have won again today. It's brilliant. Hey, got it in there, Pete. There's more of that later. Right, anyway, let's get back to the talk. That's enough about social media because half people here don't even do it. Right, so Exodus 17, as you all well know this story, I probably don't have to read it because you could probably mouth it to me as I speak it. Is anyone else thinking this is not a normal talk already? Good. I hope you do. I don't want to be normal. 10 minutes to go or gone. Gone. And I haven't even started the talk. This is not good. Okay, Amalekites, excuse me for my pronunciations as well, because I know that you all know how to say these things in the Greek and Hebrew and what have you, but I struggle with English, so let me just read it. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites in Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of your men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with a staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, link to talk, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So Moses' hands grew tired, as they would. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Okay? So you've got this situation where basically, I just want you to put yourself in Joshua's shoes just for 1 minute, right? And imagine someone coming up to you and going, okay, so basically here's how it's going to work. We've got this army, we've got to fight down there. And basically what we're going to do, I've got a plan, don't you worry, sussed it all out. You go and fight them. I'm going to go up to the top of that hill up there as far away as I can get, and I'll be praying for you. What do you think Joshua's thinking there? He's like, okay, yeah, sounds fair. Sounds like a good plan, yeah. Why don't you take a couple of guys with you to hold up your hands just in case they get tired? You know, it'd be tough up there on your own in the mountain. Yeah, good idea, Joshua. I'll do that, actually. Thanks very much. I'll take two of your best guys and off we go. So this story is amazing. Do you not think this is a weird story? She's like, why does he need to have his hands held up? Why does he hold his hands up? Surely God knows. Like, I just find it a bizarre story that when his hands are up, they're winning the battle. When they're down, they're not. It's as simple as that. It's like losing, winning. And I just think, but why? Because God could just do this without him having to do it. But the more I look at this story, the more I think, actually, there's something significant about the person, the priest, praying the prayers and lifting their hands in an act of worship and an act of obedience, and what happens on the battlefield down below with his mates when they're fighting an army. So the kind of the basis, the foundation of this talk this morning is, it's important what we do in our homes and in church, about how we lift our hands, whether that is physically or whether it's spiritually, but in this case it's physically as well as spiritually, so I think there's something in that for us. Sometimes you have to lift your hands up. I was at a leaders' conference once, and I remember standing there and I was praying, and I had my hands in my pockets, and Nigel stopped. Is Nigel here? Nigel at the back there. Painting stairs, is it? What was it? No, let's forget that. You have to be old to get it, and I didn't even get it. Okay, so basically I'm stood there with my hands in my pockets. Nigel Stock comes up behind me and he grabs my hands out of my pockets and lifts them up and he goes, "You need to lift your hands up." And he holds my hands up while we're worshipping. And it's one of the most significant moments. Like I just said, there aren't many talks I can remember, but I remember that. And that happened 12, 15 years ago. Because it's important, because what Nigel did was, and every time I have my hands in my pockets and worship Nigel now, I think, I shouldn't have my hands in my pockets, I should be lifting them up. And I do it all the time because there's something significant about doing something physically that changes something spiritually. So much so that when Moses' hands dropped, they were losing the battle. It wasn't that he stopped praying. It wasn't that he stopped thinking about what was happening. It wasn't that he wasn't still calling out to God. It was just because his hands dropped. So there's something important about what we do physically and what we do spiritually as priests and prayers, as intercessors. And that's not, I'm not called to be an intercessor because I don't really pray much. No, we're all intercessors because we're all called to stand in the gap for someone or something. There's something important about lifting your hands that affects what happens in the battlefield. So whatever the battle is you're facing, whatever the battle is we're facing in a congregation, whatever we want to achieve, whatever we want to do, something about what happens here on a Sunday morning, about what you do physically with your hands, impacts what happens out there. Karen's gone out with a group of guys treasure hunting this morning. What happens in here impacts what they're doing out there. Just because we haven't gone out treasure hunting doesn't mean that we don't impact what's happening on the high street right now. So there's something important in this. So I looked at a number of things. Why would you lift your hands up? So it got me thinking about lifting your hands up, okay? So I've got a few things. How long have I got? Doing all right for time. Caught back up like that. Okay, so let's just hope this works because technology. So That was it's the only image I could find for stretching. It was a good holiday. What you can't see, off to the right, they've just cut me out, but I look great in the lycra. You can't see it. Okay, so the theme is hands up. Let's not forget that. So preparation. So I was thinking, when do you put your hands up? So I've thinking, like, when you do fitness or when you're going for a run or whatever, James does a lot of running, he'll know about this, he's talking, so he's not listening. Get ready for your dance. So when you're waiting to do some sports, you do stretches, don't you? Because if you don't, you flip an ache when you finish, don't you? So you do stretches. One of the stretches is you just stretch your arms up like these ladies are doing here. And there's something about that because it's about preparing for something. When you're doing this, you're preparing for the activity ahead. So for some of us this morning, this is what I'm saying about take one of these things. There's about five or six of these things. And they're not all going to be relevant for you, but one of them should be, and I want you to grab hold of it, all right? That's all I'm interested in. Forget the other five. If this one's for you, you can switch off. I don't care. But grab something. Preparation. Some of us are facing some things ahead which we need to prepare for. And what that involves is lifting our hands in worship and prayer, okay? Some of us are thinking, this is happening in my life. I might have a job interview. Might have a situation that I'm going into. Might have something happening. Might be that there's, you know, change in your life in some way that you're preparing for. And basically, you need to get your hands up because you need to start preparing. You need to be stretched and ready. Next one, knowledge. So I asked at the start, is everyone excited? Three people put their hands up. I said, does anyone use social media? And half the room put their hands up. There's something about putting your hand up to say, I agree, I know, or I want to know. So in a classroom situation, kids generally put their hands up to say, I want to answer this question, I know, and they go, oh, 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 when they're a bit older. Does anyone remember that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, me. Brilliant, like little monkeys. Or, so they're like answering a question, I've got knowledge. Or, the teacher is saying, right, has anyone got any questions? And someone's going, yeah, I don't really understand anything you just said. So it's like, you know, you're asking for knowledge, yeah? Does everyone understand what I'm saying? Okay, so, it may be, or it may just be that they need the toilet. But that's still a question. Where's the toilet? It's a good question. Valid. But there's something about knowledge. There's something about either sharing knowledge or wanting knowledge that involves you having to put your hand up. So for some people here this morning, putting your hand up is an act of saying, I have something to give, I have something to offer these people that may help them, or I need something. I don't feel like I'm equipped enough to answer the exams or do what I'm being called to do, so I need some extra knowledge. So that's knowledge, right. Next up is surrender. I have no idea what film this is from. I was just trying to find a picture of some people surrendering with their hands up. Does anyone know? There we go. What's it called? Horrible Bosses. Brilliant. So this is from a film. But basically, you can see by the look on these guys' faces and the way they're holding their hands that they're basically going, you've got us. We can't argue with it, or we need to get out of this situation. We've got no answer. You know, when you surrender, you're basically going, I give up. And for some people, we need to be surrendering. We need to be holding our hands up and saying, do you know what? I've got nothing. Do you know what, God? I don't know anymore. You've got me. It may be actually that you're doing something which is detrimental to your life. It may be that there's something wrong in your everyday life that you're just going, God, do you know what? You've got me. I shouldn't be doing this. This is not right. I surrender. So there's some people who need to surrender. There's some people who need to say, God, I'm putting my hands up because I surrender. Okay, next one. What's the next one? Here we go. Last week I promoted my games. This week I'm promoting my family. comfort. So one of the first things that I thought of when I was thinking about this hands up thing was about the way kids just come up to you with their arms up. And there's so many times where you're in a situation, and it's normally where they're like, oh, I don't feel quite confident in this situation, or I'm a bit out of fish out of water here, and I need some comfort. And so you pick them up, and they're like, ooh, cling on, you know, like, yeah, I feel comfortable now. And I just think, you know, there's so many verses in the Bible about children, there's so much about being childlike, and I think there are times where we have to accept that we just need to go, Father, Lord, just pick me up. I can't do this. I feel so out of my depth. I feel so scared. I feel so unprepared for this. I need you. And God will pick you up and say, you know, I'll walk you through. It's that famous story of the two sets of footprints in the sand. You know, the point at which there's one set of footprints is not where Jesus leaves us, it's where Jesus picks up and says, like, I know you can't handle this. I'm going to bring comfort to you. So that's comfort. Next one, celebration. Now, this is actually, how long have I got? Because I'm going to go on a bit. This is actually a group of Man City fans, which if you saw the results yesterday, you'll notice that they probably weren't doing this much at the end of the game as they were during the game. So I tried to find one of Aston Villa fans cheering, but it's very difficult to find a picture of Aston Villa fans cheering. Most of the time they're going, or walking out. It's just their backs walking out. Another one. So it's good to see some Man City fans cheering before they lost 3-2 to Aston Villa yesterday. Any Man City fans in the house? No, most of them Man United fans live down here, don't they? They didn't do too well either yesterday. Anyway, the analogy, before I lose you all into going off about football, is that has anyone ever been to a football match? Look at that, some hands go up, brilliant. Look, you're just reinforcing my talk, I love it. If you've been to a football match, you'll realise the intensity and the passion and the excitement that goes on. It's bizarre, because you've basically got all these guys who normally are kind of pretty chilled and all this sort of stuff, and they get to football and they're like, yeah, 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 yeah. It's like they've been released from somewhere or something, because mainly they have. They're kind of doing their normal day job or whatever, and then they get to football and it's like, yeah, I can shout. But basically, if you ever see a football crowd, particularly like in this sort of situation, it's just you've got people you don't know. I've been at football matches and literally kissed men I've never met before. It's bizarre. And then I've gone into the ground and found my seat. And It was too easy. Oh, dear. But basically, it's bizarre. It is bizarre. You know, you go to a football match. Dave had this at a concert. Dave went to see Mumford & Sons. And then the last song was dancing and jumping around, and this mad bloke next to him, he'd never met before, just put his arm around him, and they spent the whole song jumping up and down, arm in arm, going, this is brilliant! Yeah, it's brilliant! Like that. And at the end, the guy turned to Dave, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it doesn't matter, and turned to Dave and said something like, I've never met you before in my life, I'll never see you again, but this is one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And I love you. He actually said, I love you. Brilliant. But at football, there's such an intensity and a passion. There's a worship about cheering your team on that actually And football fans, they always talk about football fans being the 12th man, you know, like, oh, the, you know, like yesterday at the Villa game, they said, oh, the crowd were amazing. When the crowd gets going, it's amazing. It feels like a real support. Because there's something about when people cheer and shout and celebrate, about cheering their team on, that has an impact on the field. And it's actually a brilliant example of Exodus 17 in modern life without God. Do you know what I mean? It's like all these guys going, yeah, cheering, putting their hands up. If they all stood there with their hands by their side and just went, come on, chaps, kick the ball, come on. Let's try and score a goal, shall we? It wouldn't have the same impact, would it, to the players? They'd be like, oh, great, well done. And then when you score, it just goes mental. Literally. Just dancing around, hugging people that you remember before. Hey, yeah! Jumping over things. It's just crazy. But it's a great example of how we should be when we celebrate. You know, I've seen literally more passion and more excitement and more worship on a football terrace sometimes than I have in a church meeting. And that saddens me. When I became a Christian at 15, I used to go to football every week. Every week I'd go up to London on the train, go to all the grounds, go up to Birmingham to see Villa. And I'd go every week, and I loved it. And it was my buzz, it was my passion. I became a Christian. I didn't give it up or anything, but I just kind of stopped going as much and got more into church and what have you. But there were times when I was in church going, do you know what? If I'd gone to football yesterday, I'd have seen more excitement yesterday and more passion. All right, now I know it's short-lived, and it's kind of, at the same time, it's like, well, it's about football, so it's irrelevant. Bill Shankly once said, the Liverpool manager, great Liverpool manager, said, football's... football is not a matter of life and death. It's more important than that. And it's complete rubbish. It just isn't. But church is. Church is a matter of life and death. So what are we going to do? Are we going to be crazier than the football fans, or are we going to let them outdo us? So some of us, we need to celebrate. We need to learn how to cheer. We need to learn how to put our arms in the air and go, yes, God, get in. Come on. Don't we? I don't do it. You know, there's that song, isn't there? And I'll become even more undignified than this. We're not undignified. They're undignified. We're not undignified. I'll become more undignified than this. Get out. Go watch a football match. They're bloody undignified. Aren't they? Let's go mental a bit. Some of us will be more mental about the fact that I just said the B word than the fact that I'm challenging you to get excited in worship. I'm challenging myself as well. Don't get me wrong, this is all for me as well. Anyway, football fans, celebration, offering. Another thing we put our hands up for is an offering. Yeah? Sometimes about putting your hands up isn't about the big, the loud, and the shout and scream. Sometimes it's just about the real intimacy, the real, God, I just give you what I've got. This is what I've got right now, and this is what I give to you. You know, in this situation, this picture, you might not be able to see it, but they're just pennies. It's like, it's not a lot, but I've got it, and I'll give it to you. So for some of us, we need to put our hands up, and we need to say, God, this is my offering to you. This is what I've got, and I'm giving it to you. It's not a lot, but I'm giving it to you because I know you can turn it into something. So offering is another way of, and sometimes that means kneeling on your knees, lifting your hands and saying, God, I give this to you. And finally, restoration. You know, if you're not a Christian here this morning, if you don't know Jesus in a personal way, then this slide sums up what Hands Up is all about. Because basically, this is the crux of why we do what we do. This is what Christianity is all about. It's all about the cross. For some of us, we need to go back to the foot of the cross and put our hands up and say, Lord, you have raised your hands for me. You've died on the cross for me, and you've risen for restoration, for redemption. And I don't need to live with all the stuff I live with because of what you've done. So for some of us, we need to put our hands up. The most, again, I'll say it, if you don't know Jesus this morning, you don't consider yourself to be a Christian, or you haven't got that sort of relationship with the Lord, I want to challenge you this morning to ask yourself a question. This is the most important question you'll ever ask yourself, okay? The question is what Pontius Pilate asked the crowd before Jesus was sentenced to death on the cross. He said, what do I do with this man Jesus? And that is the most important question any human being can ask themselves, because you have to make a decision. You know, your decision can be, I'll ignore it. That's a decision. But you have to make a decision about what you're going to believe and why you're going to believe it. Because either Jesus was God in human form, lived a sinless life, lived a perfect life, and died on a cross to take all of the stuff we do wrong and to say death is beaten by rising 3 days later and giving us the ability to have relationship with God again, redemption, restoration. And if that's true, then that will change your life. And for people in this room, it's changed their lives. If it's not true, and you choose that it's not true, then you've made a decision that it's not true and it's not going to affect how you live your life. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's respond to this. I like responses. I like people to do stuff. I don't just like talking loads. So I do like talking loads as well, but it's nice that people have a chance to respond. So why don't the band come back up? But basically, what I want us to do is I want us to think about, there, at the bottom there, they're the words that I put, they're the words I put. It's so simple. It's so simple. You know, what are you going to lift your hands up for? What is it that you need to lift your hands up for? What is it that tomorrow, the next day, you're going to find yourself walking around your house and you just say, God, this is what I'm about. And lift your hands up. You know, some people come to church and they go, why does everyone put their hands up? Well, this is why. Because there's something about the physical act of putting your hands up that Moses puts his hands up. And there's something about that affecting what happens on the battlefield. And then the fact that he's got his friends there holding his arms up is a whole different story. So let's just close our eyes. And then I'm going to ask you to stand up and or do something and lift your hands up. But what I want to do is I want to pray. I've just talked about the slide with the restoration slide, Jesus on the cross. And I don't know whether there's people here that aren't Christians, but I'm not going to say all that and not give you an opportunity to respond if you are. So if you are here this morning and you know you might just be the first time or whatever, if you don't know Jesus or you want to restore your relationship with Jesus this morning, I would just ask you just to pray in your head or quietly now and just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize what you did for me on the cross by dying to give me freedom and bring restoration to my relationship with you. And Lord, I ask you to come and be a part of my life, and I ask you to touch me with your Holy Spirit and to help me to find out more about you, to follow you, to hear from you, and to build my relationship with you. And I ask that if you say those words, that you come and find me at the end, because I want to talk to you about it a bit more. And it's not now, it's not the time to go into it. But what I want the rest of us to do is to think about our response this morning. I want us to think about what is it that God's calling you to raise your hands for. The band are going to start playing. We're going to start some worship just before the kids come back in. And I want you to think about that. And I want you to respond appropriately, whether it's standing up to lift your hands, whether it's kneeling down to lift your hands, whether it's sitting to lift your hands, whatever it may be. It may be that you need to go and see someone here this morning and say, I need you to help lift my hands. Because there's a whole thing about the relationship side that I haven't gone into, but it may be that you need to just go and grab someone and say, do you know what? I feel weak in this. I'm not sure I can lift my hands. I need you to help me. Like Nigel lifted my hands. You might need that moment. It may be that you want to go and find someone and say, I want to lift your hands. You might know someone in the congregation who is struggling with something or having a tough time, or you just think they need support here. They need a brother or sister to stand by them and lift their hands. So let's just do that. I'm going to hand over to the band. That's me done. We've got about 3-4 minutes before the kids come in, maybe 2. So let's just be quiet. Let's see what God's saying, and then let's respond appropriately.